What's up? Welcome to the Still Loading Podcast. We are back. We back in the crib. We doing what we do. You know what we talk about. We talk sports. We talk entertainment. We talk pretty much everything else in between. Yo, my man Ace, how was the weekend, bro?
What's up, man? Hello, everyone. Welcome back. The weekend was pretty fun. I had a birthday yesterday for my brother. He turned 38, and it was kind of fun, man. It was a sports theme. You got to wear your jersey, got to wear, you know, any type of sports outfit, and pretty fun. We had carne asada, we had freaking hot dogs. Man, it was such a blast. And we had this huge piñata where we had all the kids smack. And I was one of the people holding the string. And man, I jerked that thing up so quick. And as it was coming down, hit this kid dead in the face. This kid was 5 years old. What are you doing? Why are you hitting a kid? I'm sorry. Just going up and down like crazy. It was mad fun. The weather was pretty warm. Got my brother a gift. You know, got him trading cards. So that was kind of fun. And I had some trouble at first because I was thinking to myself, should I get him cards? Or those are some of the things that I was like battling with before getting him a gift. But I ended up choosing getting him cards because, you know what? You got to have that kid moment. And that's something that he can do with his son. So it was kind of fun. So that was my weekend summed up. What about you?
Nice, man. Man, I've spent a lot of time attending to family, you know, family things this weekend. Yeah. Helped my grandmother and, you know, a bunch of others just do a bunch of cleanup. So we had a bunch of people at the house, a bunch of the family just to help us, you know, kind of get things in order, do some rearranging, some reorganizing, figure out what to keep and what not to keep. And it's always amazing to me how we can start to accumulate so much stuff over a span of time. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're talking sometimes 5 years, 15, 20, 30 years. When you think about all the stuff that you've accumulated, and it's hard to get rid of any of that stuff sometimes because you can find the sentimental value in all of it. So it's one of those things where we have to go in with a mission. Like, okay, what is truly trash? What don't we need anymore? So just kind of having those conversations early so that way we're not sitting there debating about what to keep and what not to keep, right? So it was a lot of that happening. And we had a good time, man, just sitting there as family talking about different things, different photos we found. And we're like, man, you remember this? You remember that? You remember being here at this place, being at this bar, being at this restaurant, being in this at this cookout, you know, this family reunion and, you know, sitting there laughing about different photos and things as they came up. It was pretty cool. Yeah, it was just nice spending time with family. And then after that, I stopped at there was a block party, literally like two blocks away from my house. There's this pretty popular clothing brand. They were actually featured on Kelly Clarkson's show called Brown Mill. And they are a really, really nice brand, black-owned brand. And they've been doing their thing for a good 5 years, I believe, maybe a little bit longer, but just really building up a nice organic brand of really dope, like t-shirts, button downs, hats. They have really nice clothes, man. Very quality made stuff. And yeah, they had a whole block party. When I tell you, it was literally thousands of people out there, bro. Like, it was beautifully done. You had a nice crowd of people out there. The food was amazing. Yeah, I saw so many people there I knew. We had a good time, man. It was really fun.
I love block parties.
Yeah, man. It was really nice. And then I just came home and I crashed. I couldn't keep my eyes open anymore. You already know. Yeah, so just kind of keep in touch with everybody. And I think that was really cool just to have the time to spend, you know, with family and kind of seeing a lot of friends that I haven't talked to in some years, too. In fact, I ran into a lot of people from high school. It was really nice to just kind of come across them all and just start reminiscing on old times, man.
But yeah, man, I was looking at some massages and I was just like, man, when's the last time I've had a real good massage? You know?
Sometimes you get that good massage and you fall asleep in the middle of the mall. Like, I've done that a few times where it's just you wake up and you're like, where am I? You forget almost where you at. You know,
facts.
Like when they tap you on the shoulder or on the back, you'd be like, all right, sir, you're all done now. It's like, okay.
Yeah, right. It's like, what did I missed the whole thing. We had to do a do-over. Like, nah, like we're not. I get that. And as for me, I really just appreciate massages in general because, you know what, if I'm hurting and I'm in there and I'm getting a good massage and if I'm sleeping, I know that my body's being taken care of. Like, and it's that trust, too. That's that blind trust. Like, I don't know if I'll trust, you know, getting a massage from, you know, maybe it's a friend or what have you, right? It's like, or those people that come over, what's that brand? Zeal. There's Zeal, oh, yeah. Home massages, yeah. And all that. Like, I won't fall asleep with them because it's in my home, right?
Right.
But
like, to me, you have to have people there that are, like, if you're going to get an at-home massage, typically it's like you're a couple, you know what I'm saying? And y'all are getting it done together, like at the same time. Like, I won't have somebody just come over, because if I go to sleep, they could just run all through my shit and I would never know.
Oh,
you know?
Damn.
You know, they could just go all through your belongings and just run through everything and you don't know what's going on. Because there's been times when I've been asleep like that. Like, I remember one time, me and my ex, we had a masseuse come over and she massaged us both. And when I tell you, I got my massage done, I was out like a light, bro. I mean, she literally had to come back like, Kane, like, you know, wake up, bro. She's like, you gotta wake up, Kane. And I'm like, damn, like, okay, I see what's going on here. Thank you. But it was
wake
good.
Your ass
it was
up. Good stuff.
Smack you on your back.
Yes, Miss Daisy.
But yeah, like, I've had some good ones, bro. But yeah, like, but again, how do you feel about a man massaging your girl? Like, that's the question.
Well, you know, I'm pretty open when it comes to that. I feel like if the man is, again, great and he is professional, I wouldn't mind it at all, right? But all right. But I feel like I need to trust, you know, and if we're in the same room, great. Now, I did surprise an ex with a masseuse, but it was at this really expensive spot in Manhattan, and it was a male masseuse. And at these fancy spots, you know, you're like, okay, they're getting paid mad money. This is like a $300 massage because it's at this really great spa. So it's gonna be legit, right? But then after the fact, she was like, yeah, he was getting up there. I was like, what do you mean he was getting up there? And in my mind, again, I'm paying for something mad expensive. So, yo, he was touching the lips and all that stuff. I'm like, yo, what? And she was like, wow. Yeah. Like, I was like, wow. Yeah, okay. And so we put in a complaint. And apparently this dude had a few complaints about him before. Like, that's really? I'm telling you. So it doesn't matter if it's like upscale or downscale. It's all the same. Men are men.
And see, you know, see, that's the problem I have is that, honestly, at that point, you are putting your girl in the hands of another dude, right? Like, and you don't know what they could possibly be thinking in their minds, what their intentions might be. You're just hoping for the best. Now, I can't lie. I do a lot of times give them the look like, motherfucker, I'll knock you out. Like, please don't get it twisted. If I hear a scream, if I hear anything I don't like, it's a problem. So I do get him that look like, I'll slap the shit out you. Don't get it twisted. Don't make me come back up in this motherfucker. I'll do it.
But he's like, better slap me twice.
Yo, you have to do that. You have to do it, man. You got to let him know.
Like, what if he likes that shit? What if he likes to be slapped?
He ain't going to like that one. Trust me. He's not going to like the slap I'm going to give. I'll tell you that much.
Yo, that's wild, man. That is wild. Yeah,
that's what happens once you become official with your girl, man. You know, it's like, listen, when we friends, there's certain things that you will tolerate or you will let slide when you are not really with a woman officially, right? Like, you know, you'll go out somewhere, you'll let guys kind of just gawk over. Like there's times when I go out with friends who are platonic, right? And until you actually, let's say you make it official, it's like, hey, I don't care if guys talk to her. I think my only concern is if they see me with her and we by ourselves and they still try to kick game. Because it's like, okay, what does that mean you think about me as a man? Like,
yeah, that's, you know, scandalous as fuck. That's
your word. It's like, fuck, what you trying to say? You don't think I'll knock you out? Like, so that really doesn't happen to me, but I think I could see where that could be a concern, right? But I think that, let's say you go out with a group of girls, you know, it's just a bunch of, you know, friends, y'all outside, and guys try to holler at them, you can't be mad. It's like, look, I would try too. Like, if they by themselves.
Listen, man, like I see group. That as a compliment. I see that as a compliment.
Yes, that's different. Right, that's different.
If my lady's getting hit on, that's a compliment. But if they trying to step up, even after, I'm like, yo, that's my lady.
Right.
That's another thing. But now if my lady's like, you know, why not? I want to talk to them. I'm getting attention. Then I'm going to dump her and then leave by myself.
Yeah, exactly. But, that's listen, always a dance. It's always a dance that you have to play, right? You have
I don't want to have to fight for my chick if she's already mine. If she going to play the games and say things like, you know what? We're just talking. Yo, you're asking for this now. You're asking for me to come up and make a scene just for you to make you feel a certain way. You know what I'm saying? Like if a girl's talking to me, my main thing is like, shit, I'm going to get my shit beat up by my chick if I'm talking to another girl. So I ain't going to do that. I'm going to tell me like, yep, nope, I got to move to the side. You know what I'm saying? And like, Some men will obviously be a little sly with him, be like, yo, here's my number, let's talk later. I have a girl, but whatever. And some girls will be okay with that and vice versa, right? But if you want to respect your person, you know what I'm saying? If you're making it official, like as you just mentioned, yo, you gotta have that level of respect and class. Class comes deep into it, right? So to you to be classy with that. But my question is to you is like, when is it official, right? When do you truly make it official with the person you're with? Like what scenario, or what stances, or who do they have to meet, or what has to be done to officially make it official?
To me, you have to have a conversation. You have to literally sit them down and say, this is where I see us going. This is what I want. Because anything up until that point is just an assumption. And right. I think that's one of the things you have to make clear to anybody you're dating. Like, you know, I've had that conversation plenty of times, and you always get that, well, so what are we, right? You know, where do we stand?
What's the next step?
Right. Yeah. What's next for us? And you have to make it very clear that up until the point where you all literally say, we are together, we are official, right, it's fair game. Like, I can't be mad. You know, I've told women this before. Like, I can't be mad if you're talking to somebody else, if we are just kicking it. Like, you know, we spend time every now and then. Now, if you've decided to remain focused on me, cool, I appreciate that. But I want you to know that that wasn't an expectation from me. I didn't expect you to hold off on speaking to anyone if we were talking. Like, you know, as long if we were speaking to each other. Because, you know, there's levels. There's levels to commitment, right? We're going out. We're hanging out from time to time. We don't talk every day on the phone. It's, hey, what are you doing tonight? What you doing next weekend? What you doing? Like, those are cool circumstances, and you can just vibe out and chill, and it is what it is. But if we are chilling out multiple times a week, you know, we're doing things on a regular basis, and we both know what we're working towards, that's the time when it's, okay, after a little while, you're sitting down and you're saying, okay, this is where I see us going. And, you know, you just remove that doubt, because now you don't have to worry anymore. Now, that woman doesn't have to worry if you're focused on her.
I struggle with that just for myself. Having that conversation, being the person that says, all right, let's sit down and have a conversation about our future, is because I always have this level of doubt within my head of the what ifs, and they affect me. And that's one of my flaws that I've always have been fighting, you know, especially in relationships. And in my mind, what makes it official for me is when they're meeting my family, right? So when they're meeting my family, when they're, you know, meeting my brother, my nephew, my parents when they were alive, you know, that right there to me is, you're mine and I'm yours, and that's it. I think in my mind, it's an assumption. That's when I say, okay, it's real, without me saying it, right? But I get you. Communication is so important. I always talk about communication and say things like, you know, we got to make sure that we're aligned and make sure that we are understanding with one another on what we want in life. So I get that.
Yeah, I think, like you said, meeting family. So for me, I've always viewed it as meeting family is not really my end all be all. It's amazing to me how everybody has a different view of when it's finally a thing to them. Because, right, you know, you have some people who we can go years and you might never meet my family. You might not ever meet my parents, you know, for a long period of time or whatever the case might be. And then you have some that's like, no, I don't view you as really mine until you meet my family, because maybe I want them to see you and observe you, and maybe they might see something that they don't like.
What are they, goddamn scientists? The hell?
No, you know, because a lot of times some people use it. They say, oh, I'm so close to my family, so I want you to meet my sisters or my brothers and whatever. Yeah. And I want them to give the stamp of approval, you know, so that way I know, you know, how far to take this. And sometimes, like, they might have some good advice for her. You know, they might be able to say, hey, you know, maybe I don't like this trait about him. Maybe he acts like this, and I see certain signs. Like, well, I don't
really. Everyone has opinions, bro. Like, that's the thing.
They do. And yes. But look, at the end of the day, sometimes it takes a neutral party to be able to look who's truly unbiased, to truly look and say, I don't think he's a good fit. It could have been something that they said, you know what I mean? Maybe something they did at the event. Maybe, you know, you went to go get a plate or you didn't get a plate of food. You know, it's like some cultures find that a very big deal. Like, let's say you're going somewhere and your girl doesn't fix your plate for you. You know, some cultures are like, that's a big red flag for me. Why is he not taking care of you in this manner?
That's, yeah, I hear that. Yeah.
Well, like, for instance, a man not opening the door for his girl when they're coming into a family's house, that's a big deal.
I hear that. And it pains me to admit this, but I pride myself on that. But at times I find myself lacking when the relationship goes on for a certain extended amount of time. I tend to see myself walking a little faster or walking a little slower or not opening up the car, not saying the things that I would say when I first started dating the person.
Right, right.
I'm definitely that person. I have to admit it, right? Like, accountability is important. I lack on that, and I try to put myself back on pace with doing those little things, because I always tell myself and I always tell the person I'm with, it's the little things that matter. And I do the other little things, but the little things that I need to do for them on a daily basis is opening up the car door if I'm, you know, in the position to do that, or telling them that they look beautiful with what they're wearing, or hey, you look very cute. I liked how you did your hair. The little things. And, you know, I feel like those are the things that stick with the person the most. And I sometimes lack in that. And I'm recognizing that.
It really is. I mean, you think about even guys, like, we like to hear when we put that shit on, like a woman says, damn, you look good as hell. Or damn, that cologne smells amazing on you. Or things like that. Like, you know, even if we might already believe that, it's nice to hear it from your girl. Like, it's nice to know that they still find you attractive. They still find you as someone. Because when you think about it, a lot of times women will say, guys have it easy. All you literally do is hop in the shower, brush your hair, put on your clothes, and walk out the door. you know,
I don't even have hair to brush, so it's perfect.
You know, women, it's like they literally have to spend time. They got to go get their hair done. They got to get the nails done, the feet done. You know, if they're putting on makeup, whatever the case might be, they do all those things. And so a lot of times, you know, I was with a girl and she was like, you know, why do you take so long? All you do is literally hop in the shower, you brush your hair, you do your beard and stuff. Like, why am I waiting on you? And it's like, oh, like, shit. But at the same time, she's like, you look good, but it's not like you have to do all the things I have to do. And I get that. So I understand where they have that concern sometimes. At the end of the day, I think as long as they are able to say, yo, you look nice today. I think it's just a mutual thing. We just have to know that everybody likes to hear compliments. Everybody likes to feel like they are still being viewed as attractive or as a suitable mate for the person that they're with. Everybody wants that. So it's just something, like you said, it's, we just have to keep reminding ourselves over time, like, I know my woman wants to hear these things. And keep it genuine, of course. Like, don't do it where every single time you're saying the same thing, because then they lose appreciation for it. It's not.
Yeah, saying the same things like, oh, my baby's so handsome. And it, when saying that in the very beginning, it's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful feeling. But when you keep saying it over and over again, it just becomes redundant, as if that's something that's just automatic with you.
Right. Like
If I hear that from my woman, like, all the time, oh, my baby's so handsome, my baby has a beautiful face, or you look so good. When I hear that so consistently over and over again, it takes away from the value. And it just makes me feel like it's just you're a part of your conversation with having with me. It's not like you're telling me that anymore. It's like you're just saying it just to say it, and it's not a part of something special.
Mm-hmm. You know, I, you know, we were talking about all the terms we hear a couple of weeks ago, and people say, you know, those different terms like love bombing, for instance, right? Like, you know, they say, I was talking to this guy and he love bombed me to death. And I was like, what does that actually mean to be love bombed? And they say, oh, you know, he just would tell me I was so pretty and he just wanted to spend all his time with me. He wanted me to have his kids. And he just thought all these sweet things about, he had all these sweet things to say. But his actions were something different a lot of times, you know, and I get that, you know, it's like stop blowing smoke up my ass type situation. Like, don't tell me all these nice things and then you're acting like an idiot. I get that. You know, I think it's just a good balance that we have to strike, where it's like, as long as you feel that way, like, damn, I might see my girl walk out and she got on a nice dress, or she decided to put on something nice for me tonight. And I'd be like, yo, you look good, man. Like, we're going to take this shit off.
You said something earlier that really got to me. When you said that you took your time to get ready and she was like, well, I have to wait for you, right? And I hear that. And to be honest with you, when you are taking your time to get ready for your partner, that partner has to appreciate it, because you're not looking all scrungy. You're taking your time because you want to look the best when you're walking next to your person. And that is super, super important to remember.
Yeah, like you said, it's an idea of my personal confidence, but it's also, I want to look good for you. Like, I want you to know that when I'm putting what I got to put on, when I walk out, I want you to know I'm thinking about you as well. It's not just a me situation. And I think that just kind of speaks to, you know, this whole phase now. And I know we were talking about becoming official before, but Right. Some people only view becoming official as once they post on Instagram or once they post on social media. And I think that that's a real, it's become a real part of the relationship for some people. Like if I don't post you online, no. But it's just one of those things where they feel like they have to post you in order for it to be real. And then you have a lot of women who actually don't post their man. Like if you notice now, they'll post up a guy, but they'll put a smiley face over him. Or, you know, it's always like some weird mystery. Like, don't nobody care.
Here's my vacation. Not you.
Now
I'm in the Bahamas by myself.
That I have a different... Now, that I do have an issue with, though. Because if we're going away on vacation and we're spending thousands of dollars to go away, or if this guy paid for your trip and you're showing everything but him... Like, yo. I've seen guys literally take their face and they put it right in the frame and be like, I'm here too.
Yeah, like, that phone you have, that phone bill, I'm paying for that too.
That's right.
Put me on there.
Yeah, don't insult the person that you're with by showing everything else but them. Because a lot of people will know full well, you're not going on this trip by yourself. Everybody knows. Mm-hmm. So why not just post? And that to me tells me you're either not proud of the person you're with or it's literally just a situation type thing. It's, you know, I'm being flown out here, or I'm being treated to these things, or sometimes even tricked out. Like
it's an image. It's all about image, right? People want to look like they're living the high life, that they're doing all the things. And really it's, you're doing it with someone and you want to put yourself in this different light, trying to act like these other people on social media. You're just going to look stupid in the end.
Yeah. And I agree with that. I think that social media is, of course, and we've talked about this before, where it's really becoming, it's too big a part in our everyday lives and in our relationships. It's like it's become too big of an influencing factor. I mean, social media actually has killed a lot of people's careers, relationships. Like you saw with Stefan Diggs a few weeks ago, you know, like 2 weeks ago, you know, he had this whole controversy of him posting up. And honestly, he didn't even post it. Somebody else was there, took video of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's there surrounded by women. Of course, Cardi B is there as well. They're together now.
Yep.
You know, he's with all these girls and the wrong moments can get recorded and put out there for the world to see. And honestly, it's nobody's business because let's be real. If they were there on his boat, they didn't go there without knowing other people were going to be there. Both he and Cardi B.
Yeah, that's right. Wrong. Didn't the girls call him daddy?
Yeah, I mean, but look. Stefan, first of all, let's be real. Stefan Diggs is a sniper, right? He's what we know as a sniper. He's of the elite crew of people who's like, look, I'm making money. I can get pretty much any girl I want. And for the most part, they have. And
yeah.
At the end of the day, it's like you can't be mad at this dude for being young, having money, and being able to spend his money. Now, I think where the problem is that you have to also know your surroundings. Because when you got people recording videos of you and you don't know what they're going to post, when they're going to post it, how they chop it up, screw it up, whatever, now you look a certain way. And now what I will say is him pulling out that little bag of pink dust, that's a problem. Like, that's a problem. Because now it's you just put yourself in a whole situation where now the Patriots looking at you differently.
Yep.
You just got to be careful, man.
Yeah, you know, there was this video that circulated back up and it was someone interviewing his teammates saying, you know, what's the one person on your team that you would not want your sister to date? And not just one, not two, but like five or six different players on this team said Stefan Diggs. They were like, absolutely not. No way. You wouldn't want to bring him to see your parents. It was wild. And I was watching this and they were interviewing his teammates in the locker room and they were like, Stefan Diggs. Absolutely. No, 1,000% Stefan Diggs. I would not want him anywhere near my sister. Like, I'm like, damn. That's
crazy. Are you serious?
Absolutely.
You got to send me that, bro. I didn't see that.
I will definitely send you that. And it was so wild when I was watching that, seeing his teammates say that. And it just makes you wonder, like, who is this person? Why is it that his teammates, who are his brothers, right, on the same team, saying, I don't want him near my sister? He's the type of person you will not bring around your parents. He's a wild man. He is unstable. No, that's crazy.
That is so wild, man.
So it makes you think, like, what type of person is this guy? And and it's so funny. I see this this post by Ye saying, be like the person next to you plotting against you. And it was a picture of Stefan Diggs next to
Offset.
I was dying. I was dying.
But you know what that goes to show is that you never know what's going to happen over time. Because, you know, when that picture was taken, they were cool. You know, at least they were cordial with each other.
Motherfucker was plotting.
Or, honestly, it depends on when it was. It depends on when. We don't know how long ago that was. That could have been before he met Cardi. But it could have also been after. Like you said, he could have been plotting. He might not have even known her at that point. But I think that speaks to just, you just never know. And you got to always keep your head on a swivel. And that's why
always.
Offset being so mad about the whole situation. Like, I know he's mad that, you know, Cardi left him to be with a guy like Stefan Diggs. But at the end of the day, she knows what she's getting into. And you think about it, she went through a lot of embarrassment with Offset. Like, Offset really embarrassed Cardi B by, you know, dealing with different girls that she knew, that knew her. And pretty much every girl knows her. So the second you mess around with a chick, you now give her a leg up. And now she
absolutely
can say, yo, I had your man. I had this. You've now put her in a position where she has to hear about it from the regular girl around the corner at the bodega. Like, why would you want to hear that some regular chick got your dude?
I mean, she's Cardi B. She's Cardi B, bro. Like, right. Come on. Look at her.
Right.
She's doing everything. She got the look. She got the voice. She got the talent. She got the money. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have kids together.
And she got a hell of a personality. Like, I like a girl like Cardi, real talk. She's down to earth. Like, it doesn't matter how much money she has. She's still the same person.
She's wild. And she's like, she's very raw, which is something I love, right? Mm-hmm. She can talk about, you know, politics. She can talk about the streets. She can talk about, you know, music. She can talk about, you know, her people.
Motherhood,
I'm telling you, like, the way that she communicates, I got to respect that, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people can shit on her all they want, but when it comes down to it, they're just going to hate with what they don't have, right?
I agree. And, you know, of course, anybody at that point is going to always want to try to get the leg up. Guys won't. I noticed that when a person is in a relationship, like a woman in a relationship, and she cheats, right? Mm-hmm. And she finds a side dude. That side dude, for the most part, is never going to put it out there that he's with her. Like, guys are very good at keeping shit quiet. We like to keep the situation as it is. You know, hey, you have a situation at home, or you're not happy with your situation, you're all about to split, whatever. Cool, I don't care. You want to fuck? You want to smash? Okay, cool. Like, guys are just, most part, guys don't care, you know, and we will not try to mess up that situation. Mm-hmm. Whereas I find that a lot of women are not good with keeping it quiet. Like, a lot of women will do things like follow the guy on IG, will post on his picture.
Feelings get caught.
Will say or they start talking to their friends about it, and it's really
someone's
weird
gonna be conniving and be like, "Yo, I'm gonna backstab you." Shit happens all the time.
Yeah, or they put up little subliminal messages like, oh, such and such is so funny. And, like, women have this way, they shorthand about when they start messing around with a guy and they know somebody else that is, they will post up little things online just to let the other person know, I had your man.
But then if you look at the positive of that, that means that they're real, right? That they're really themselves when they're with this person. They're happy, they're excited, they're all the things, right? And if they're not having it with the person that they're with, it's going to show. Now, if you look at it from the man's point of view, we are just split. We have a split personality where we can act a certain way with somebody and then act another way with another person. It's kind of like that that skit with Drewski when he's at the work and he has a work wife and he's happy out. He's all excited and happy. And then he gets into the car and he's like to his kid, what you want? Sit back.
Right.
Get your ass back. Get off. His wife's saying, hey, babe, how's your day? Shut up. Just start driving. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
See, the mindset that men have, and you think about it, right? It's like, I truly feel this way. I feel like, you know, women just have that emotion set where they're going to feel a lot harder and feel a lot deeper than men would, right? Like, men are like, all right, whatever. I'm just going to do my thing, right? Get my shit going, right? I'm going to have some sex, go back to the girl, to the wife, and just act like everything's normal. That in its way is fucking psychotic.
It is.
Think about that. But in the woman, they're like, you know what? My feelings are still the same. I'm going back home. And let's say if they did cheat, whatever, do the things, they go back home to the man and they're going to have that emotion still. And it's still going to sit with them. And they're going to still want to connect with that feeling. So they're maybe going to text and smile on their phone when they're texting that man saying, you know, so good. I can't wait to see you again. And that right there is the exposure, right?
I think the hardest part about maybe finding out that your girl might cheat is because, you know, a lot of times a woman will only cheat for one reason. It's typically emotional. Most women do not cheat for physical contact. because they can get it from home, right?
They're missing out on something that they're not getting.
Yeah. I was just having a conversation about that not too long ago with one of my girls, you know, just one of my homies. And like, we just talking and she was like, you know, a lot of times it's very, you know, a lot of guys think that women won't cheat for anything but emotions. And like, she was like, I know some girls that will cheat for the physical aspect. They just want to be with another guy or whatever. But, and I was like, okay, I could see that. Let's say maybe the guy just has issues with just keeping his woman, you know, sexually satisfied, whatever the case might be, over years in the span of time. I typically find that a woman will deal with a guy that, you know, has some issues because she loves him. You know, she loves the guy. She wants to be with him. They will try all different types of ways to keep it spicy, whatever the case might be. It's not until he's not treating her a certain way where she's like, all right, now I'm not getting it emotion, like physically or emotionally. Now I got to go look at other options.
Yeah, that's a tough one because you're right. You hit it on the nose. It's very emotional. You know, you're not looking at me the same, not giving me attention. They can go to Pilates and the guy who's wearing, you know, a spandex can give her all the attention, looking all goofy. But you know what? She's going to enjoy that. And she's going to want to go to, you know, Pilates 4 times a day. And you're wondering why, right? And again, it's because someone's giving their attention. Someone's saying, yeah, you know what? You look beautiful. Love your eyes. You know, I like the way that you walk, even if it's with a limp. I like the way you say my name, Dustin, with your lisp. Like, any little thing, she's going to be appreciative. And again, vice versa with the dude. Sometimes even with the dude, it's like, if your girl's not saying, hey, man, you look great. You look so handsome. I love your voice. I like the way, you know, you look at me. It's just, you look so deeply. And saying these things, even to a man, it's like, holy shit, my girl doesn't even tell me this stuff, right? And now I'm feeling looked at. I'm feeling seen. I'm smiling ear to ear. Oh my God, I like the way you smile with your eyes. I smile at my girl like this all the time. She doesn't even tell me that.
Right.
And again, it's those little things I just mentioned before. It's like they get to you and you feel seen, you feel heard, you feel like you matter. That goes back to also mental health. We talked about this in our previous episodes as well about mental health and how important that is and how, you know, we change who we are based off of who we're with sometimes. And that's not okay. Right? We need to, you know, still have our mission, which is being happy and being happy with someone else. Don't change who you are. What you do on a daily basis is hang out with your friends, talk to your friends, go to the bar every Friday to shoot some pool, maybe have a few beers. Don't change that for someone just because they want a different side of you. Always be consistent, right?
Yeah. I think that's tough for a lot of people. It's tough to maintain that consistency because after a while, let's be real, after some years.
Yeah.
It gets very tough to look at your mate the same way. And that's why you have to keep certain habits. Like, you know, they always say you got to consistently date your girl, right? You got to date your wife or date your, you know, whatever. Like, you have to make sure that you're always going out with them. You're always finding a reason to spend time and to learn something new. Because very quickly, it can turn into, oh, that's my girl. I love her to death. And over time, it just becomes, that's the ball and chain. Like, you know, it becomes that slowly and gradually. It's not a quick shift. Yeah. So you got to really make sure you're spending the time and that y'all really appreciate each other. Like, y'all really appreciate spending time with each other. Because at the end of the day, you really are supposed to be each other's best friends. You know, they might have friends that they go out with and that they spend time with. But when you come home, you need to know, okay, like, babe, I got this thing that's really bothering me. I got to figure out a way around this, and I can't do it. I need your counsel. I need your counsel. I need your guidance. Like, what should I do? And if you can't get that from them, that's a problem. You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't go to your friend and be like, hey, I got a thing I got to take care of in the handle, but I can't do it. The first person you should be thinking about is your girl or your man. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the person that's
going to matter. And, you know, I heard this from a podcast that I was listening to, and she mentioned that when you're going on a date, you have to go on a date, act like friends, because what's going to happen is you're building that friendship. Like, talk to them as if you're friends, act as if you're friends, and do things as if you're friends. Don't feel this pressure of wanting to go on this date and be the best version of yourself and throw all your cards on the table and basically just interview panel both of you. Like, you're not doing that, right? You want to make sure that you're just being comfortable and confident, because if it doesn't work out, hey, you know what? You could be friends, right? But if it doesn't work out, at least you started off with being friends first. And that is super important. Don't go in there being like, man, I'm gonna get at you. I want to eat your face off. I want to get you in the bed. Like, no, nah, you just be friends. And if it graduates into more, then that's something that happens naturally. So to your point, right, you want to talk as if you're your best friends. It's important to establish those first, then to just go right into it and think, you know, sexual thoughts, sensual thoughts, and being in a relationship and having the marriage and all that stuff. I hate the marriage talk, by the way, when I'm on a first date where it's like, you know, do you believe in marriage? Do you want to get married? Do you want to have kids? Because I'm dating to have kids. I'm dating to marry. It's like, great. I hear that. I love that you're dating to marry. You're dating to have kids. But slow your fucking roll. Like, let's talk
as it progresses. I think, you know, while I agree with you on that, I think a lot of women, too, want to make sure they're not wasting their time. Because
have a conversation. We're spending an hour together.
Well, that's a screen, right? You think about the first date really is a screen. Like, it's just, it's an interview. It's an interview, right? So, you know, you're going out with this person and you're asking them questions like, okay, these are my literal boundaries. If you don't fit in these, this is it. And we had our one and done, and we don't have to speak again, or we don't have to go out again. And I think that that's cool. I think sometimes you want to get those hard questions out of the way. You don't want to get on date 5 or 10 and then you'd be like, hold on, you don't want to get married? Or hold on, you don't want kids? You didn't spend so much time with this person. Maybe time on the phone outside of the date. And now you find out certain things about a person and you like, damn, I could have.
I think I want that on a second date. I honestly do. Because again, think about it this way. I want to be friends, right? I want to see if we can actually be friends. So the first date, I want it to be like on a friendship thing where let's go out, let's have a conversation, let's shoot some pool, let's maybe do some karaoke, let's just shoot the shit and let's talk shit. Let's just like talk about whatever and just have a lot of fun and not think about anything but just this moment. And if we enjoy each other doing this as friends, then let's have a second date and let's talk a little more about that, right? And to your point, like interview, when they're doing the first screening, they're just like, hey, so tell us about yourself. Like, hey, how you doing? This is about the job, but you know, what do you got going on this weekend? I've had that before I had the initial interview, right? So prep me up for something big. Don't hit me with that because that's what I have to do all the time. But I want to be different. I want to enjoy you as a person. I want you to enjoy me as a person. I want you to see what I'm like when I'm not working. Because you get that question all the time. Like, what do you do in your downtime?
Right. Hey,
let's do it. Let me show you. I like to go on walks. I like to read a book. Let's go to Barnes & Noble's. Let's pick a book out and sit down maybe at the cafe if they have one there. Or if not, let's go walk around. Maybe go to the beach. Put our toes in the sand, maybe kick some sand at each other. Not in the eye, please. You know, like, just do some fun shit. That is so important to me, is being on the level of a human, right? Like, let's just exchange feelings and emotions and fun times. And if we're enjoying each other and everything else is just a blur, we're going to see each other another time, and then we're going to ask all the questions that's really going
to
matter.
You bring up a valid point. I think it's a good idea to, like you said, just keep a balance. And at the same time, don't make it feel like an inquisition. Don't make it feel like an interview, right? That's one of the things I don't like, is when, you know, you're talking to somebody and then they're asking you all these questions. And it's like, what is going on here? Like, what did I walk into? You know, the third damn, you know, interrogation? What's happening? The third degree? I don't like that.
I hate that shit.
Let's have a real conversation where we're going back and forth. It's not so I have a series of questions to ask you. Have you been this before? Have you done? And it's like, hold on. Let's talk. Let's really just slow it down and we can have a conversation.
And then if they get upset saying, well, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get to know you. It's like, I already know that you're an argumenter. Okay, I'm out. Like, I already know that you're stubborn. This and that. Yeah.
And to that point, you can tell certain things about people right away. And it's like, okay, I'm good.
But you can tell with the eyes too, the crazy eyes. Like, nope. I see that. I see where this is going. It's our first meeting and you're doing this. I'm out. It's scary. Dating is so scary these days, because to meet someone authentically is a beautiful thing. I mean, beautiful. And I feel like when you're meeting someone authentically, maybe, you know, in person, right? And you're having that conversation, I feel like people want to put more, you know, effort into it because they met in person. Right, as opposed to online, where it's like, okay, let me look through the bio. Let's do the whole thing. Like, hey, how you doing? What are you looking for? Why'd you swipe for me? You know, what are you up to? Oh, we sound cool. Let's go on a date. But you already know so much about them on this profile that you're already picturing them in a certain light. And mind you, we were talking about this before in our previous podcast. There can be catfishes, right? And there's another version, right? There's catfish and there's a miniature version of that.
Kitten fishing.
Kitten fishing, stupid. Goldfish. Gotcha, bitch. But yeah, man, I mean, That's my take on it.
No, it's true. You know, and when you're getting to know someone, of course, they always, you know, you get to learn about what they like for their birthdays, what they like to do around the holidays and things. And, you know, of course, we have not just in our relationships, but family and friends who, you know, when they celebrate those things, they have certain things that they like in a certain way. And does that make you a good friend if you don't abide by those things? For instance, you know, maybe you have some friends who, you know, when they're getting married, they might say, hey, I like these certain types of gifts, or, you know, I want things this way. And do you get them what they want, or do you get them what you think they should have? I've seen it where, you know, you have friends who will be like, well, I know you need this for your house. And I think that that's great. Like, for instance, if I'm somewhere, or like, let's say, you know, I'm dating somebody and she comes over to my house and she says, you know what? I noticed you have a lot of sneakers. Let me get you some of those clear shoe boxes that you could put all your sneakers and things in. Like,
that's
dope. Yeah. Like, that's observant. Like that. You know, you checked around my house. You see what that's I like me. And I don't, you know? Yeah. And I think that it's good to be observant of your significant other, because that's what shows you're really thinking about them and what they need. You know, what love do you think that. About that?
No, I love that so tremendously, because I am that type of person. I will see what you don't have. If you're telling me that, you know what, you have to walk around a lot for work, but you only have heels, I'm going to look for some flats for you that are super comfy, right? Mm-hmm. And that's just my thing. And I'm going to buy it and I'm going to get it. And you're going to be like, oh my God, why did you do this for me? Well, we had this conversation that you had to walk around a lot. And those things show that you matter when you are doing something, when someone's complaining about it. Now, it can work the other way where they notice that you do this, and now they're going to complain about all these little things, and they're going to expect for you to follow up on that, right? So there's two sides to the coin, but I don't really look at that when I'm doing it, because that is something that I enjoy doing. And if you tell me that's my love language, I'm going to scream off the top of my lungs. So don't
this, you. This guy is completely averse to the term love language, even though he does believe in the principle. He just hates the term love language. He does.
It's so stupid.
Proven it over and over again. He understands what it means, but he just doesn't like the term.
I don't care for it. I think it's stupid.
And look, is it corny? Yes. Is it a corny term? Yes. But does it have real validity? Yes, it does. I do believe.
Yes. Yeah, so does taking a shit. Cool. Oh, but talking about relationships, you hit it on the nose, right? When it comes to coming to someone's house and seeing what they can add, and just, you know, giving off their advice, right? When I hear that, and it's going to be a little bit of a 180, that reminds me of Trump and Elon Musk, with you know, Elon saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to go into your house, looks like you guys need this, let me add to it, right? But what happens when there's a breakup?
That's the breakup of all breakups.
We see what's going
there.
On right now.
Man, listen, and what's crazy is we've all seen it coming. Like, I know when they first got in bed together, so to say, I knew that, pause. Like, I knew that it was a situation where it was going to be a situation where they were going to have a major disagreement about something. And because they are already two strong-willed, strong-minded personalities, the clash was going to be epic, right? It was going to be one of those things where it was going to go scorched earth. Somebody was going to say something about somebody that was next level. You need to get punched in your face for this. And we see that has happened already. It's, you know, you got, and the whole reason why this even started is because of this whole bill. I don't know if anybody heard it, but it's called the Big Beautiful Bill. Of course, Trump's all over this shit. But basically, it just implies it's this huge ass bill that cuts Medicare, cuts Medicaid, you know, increases the age to be eligible for Social Security, cuts all these different programs that people in across the country need, access to food, access to, you know, affordable health, all these things. And it also raises the deficit. So this is a $4 trillion bill overall. The deficit, Congressional Budget Office actually projected that the deficit will increase by $2.5 trillion around there.
Wow.
And keep in mind that when Elon Musk was brought on, the whole idea of DOGE was to cut spending, was to cut all these different programs where people were spending this money on these different programs and things that that Congress had approved. And his issue is, hey, I'm cutting all these programs. I've taken a hit to the Tesla brand. You know, everything has gone downhill. You know, people don't look at me the same way anymore. And all of this was for you now to just raise the deficit by $2.5 trillion. Mm-hmm. What was the point? So he looks at it as just stupidity. Like, why would you continue to add all this money to the deficit.
And I think it's the EV tax credit that's going to hit Elon the most, which is why he was like, nah, you're not messing with my money, and we're not going to have that. So it goes twofold, right? It's what Doge was trying to do, and also it's hitting Elon Musk, which is why he is, you know, in this flurry of being so upset. Now, we have to think about this, right? Everyone thinks that Elon is an American, right? He's not. He's not even from America, right? So people are saying all these things like, you know, he's right. He's a true American patriot, this and that. And I'm thinking to myself, this dude isn't even from here. Like, he's like an Arnold Schwarzenegger, right?
Right,
Like, think about that for a second. And we all know how he did when he was a governor. So when we think about this, right, and what Elon is saying and the direction that he's heading because of how he's feeling regarding Trump's stance on this new bill, you know, it's really going to affect American workers if he takes his plant from here to Australia, because I heard that he's building out a structure out there to move his home base for Tesla to go to Australia. Now, that would affect, you know, American jobs. That would affect, you know, the economy, most definitely. And I feel like he's making a lot of threats towards not just America, but also to the Republican Party, stating that he's going to back the Democratic Party or start his own party, which, I think, again, not American. But let's see how that pans out.
Right. I mean, and it just really goes back to the question of what's more important, money or power? Like, which one weighs the most? I mean, here you have a man like Donald Trump who, if it weren't for Elon Musk's $250+ million investment,
right?
How would he have actually won? You know, I mean, there was a certain point. I remember before the election, Elon Musk had pretty much shown everyone, like, look, he's going to win. Like, we've got the infrastructure in place. I know he's going to win. Like, he was confident in that. And when you have that level of money where there is no limit to how much you can contribute, you know, this is the richest man in the world. He could literally say, I will spend all the money I need to elect your opposition. And that's clearly what he did. So I think that it's very, you know, that issue of power. Now, Trump could very easily say, I know you have some people like Steve Bannon who are like, we need to get him out the country. We need to get Elon out. Basically, he's saying, you know, we need to extradite Elon or send him back, deport him, basically. He wants him deported.
That's wild. That's wild.
And because he's afraid of what Elon can do, you know, financially. But I think the problem is that, even if Elon threatens that, should Democrats even entertain that? And I think the answer is no. Like, if you really are about principle. Now, look, I think that the Trump administration has shown us that, and the Republicans in general, have shown that they don't care about morals. They don't care about right versus wrong. They just care about money and about power. And I think that, unfortunately, Democrats have gotten to a point where they've created this moral high ground where they're willing to say, you know, hey, there's some things we just will not do. And because of that, we keep losing. Democrats keep losing elections. They keep losing mind you, it doesn't even benefit them because the public doesn't see them as any better than the Republicans do. So it's, you know, you have an overall public whose morals are going down, and you have the Democrats trying to hold the high ground on morals. And it's like the two things just don't go together. So I think they're going to have to find a way to take advantage of these types of situations without losing the good in them in some way.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And, you know, Musk has definitely shown his colors in different ways. He backed Obama when Obama was running.
Yeah.
And he's backing Trump.
Strategically, because he wanted that EV.
Think about it. And people think that he's here for the American people. And I'm putting emphasis on this. He is here for himself. If he does not get his bottom line finished, he's not going to back you 100%. He's going to go for whoever can back him and give him what he wants. And that's power, that's authority, and that's for him to have a ticket to do whatever the hell he wants. So, yeah. I mean, he's done some great things. I'm not knocking that. He has done really great things with Tesla, with SpaceX, you know, especially with, you know, all the things that he's doing for the American people with giving them, you know, jobs. That's amazing. I mean, my brother used to work for Tesla. He was a mechanic. And he told me how much he loved it, you know, and it's my older brother. So I would say that he was doing great things. But when he's using his power as influence, what was the thing that he said, Kane, that you mentioned when he said you can back him because he's going to be gone soon?
Yeah,
what was that?
He literally said, you know, hey, Trump's only going to be alive for a couple more years. And he's like, whereas I have another 40 years at least to be around. So he's like, Republicans choose wisely.
That is wild.
You think about how bold it is to say something like that. Like, this guy's going to die soon. Like,
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I think it made a lot of people just sit and reflect and be like, you know, he does have a point there. Like, Trump.
When reality kicks in, man.
Yeah. Because to be real, like, who else has the personality that Trump has? And there's not a lot of people who have been able to just gather so many people because he's created this cult of personality. Again, over
he's a showman.
Yes, you know, he's had all these TV shows about only he can fix it. He's the smartest guy in business. And, you know, you have the what was that show? The Apprentice.
Oh, my God. You're fired. You
know? Yeah. And right. You know, and all these people looked at that. Oh, he must be a great businessman. Meanwhile, he's gone bankrupt across 6 different businesses. You know, this guy has created this cult of personality around him that no other politician really has been able to do except for Obama. Obama was able to really galvanize a lot of people to say, I believe this guy can do this. And he did a lot of good. So I think that once Trump goes, the question is what other big personality is there that is able to do that? And honestly, in
J.D. Vance.
The couch lover.
Wait. Wasn't Musk saying that he wants J.D. Vance to be the president while getting rid of Trump because he was on Epstein Island or whatever?
Yeah.
Did he make that claim?
He did. I think that's classic divide and conquer. You know, I think
that's crazy.
He's truly saying, okay, look, I want to create division between these allies. Uh-huh. And I want to be able to say, hey, Vance, you are actually better for this than Trump is. And now that's going to create this thought in Vance's head. Well, maybe I am. And, you know, we've been watching shows like 24, where they utilize the 25th Amendment a lot.
That was crazy. But they did it for the wrong reason then. But, this could be the wrong reason.
No, like, they've actually, in the show, like one of the things I loved about that show is they utilized that when they felt that the president was incapacitated. And he truly couldn't make good decisions. Like, I know they did it in one of the seasons with David Palmer. I think it was like season 2. And then
the nuclear bomb, right?
Well, so yeah. And I remember, and then another one where it was his brother. His brother had, remember like the terrorist attack had went off and his brother got injured. He was actually the president at one point. And they thought that he might not have been capable of actually acting as president.
Right.
So they used it against him. And that still has not come up here in this country yet where we say, you know what? 25th Amendment needs to be enacted. I just don't see him being able to act in his full mind.
There's fear. There is fear that it can strike up some type of emotion within the American people. And how would that be perceived? You know, there's just too much of a following for this president to have something like that happen. I feel like there's going to be an outcry. There's going to be, you know, certain consequences that we will be seeing. I mean, there's shit already going on in LA. I mean, off topic a little bit, but there's shit going on in LA when it comes to, ICE. Their presence in LA has just been insane. People are throwing shit at the cars. They're holding rallies. They're, you know, terrorizing the streets of LA. And it's been freaking insane seeing all those videos of cops passing by, ICE vehicles passing by. And you got individuals literally grabbing rocks and throwing it at the cars, trying to bust the windows. And not just doing that to the cop cars, but also to the civilian cars as well. Just passing by and they're throwing shit as if it's okay. And, you know, all this chaos, where is this coming from? Where is the root cause? And that is Trump saying, you know what, we're going to have them back on the streets to get the illegals to go back to the country. And if that wasn't even enacted, what would have happened? This shit would have never happened, right? So
I don't know. I think a lot of things that we foresaw happening, they're real. Like, they are happening.
Yeah.
And it's sad because this was all predicted. This was all predicted. It was in Project 2025. You know, Kamala Harris was talking about this stuff on the campaign trail. Like, if you guys go back here, I'm telling you, we're going to go backward. All these things are going to happen. You know, these things will take place. And surely enough, every single one of those things has happened. And meanwhile, he's telling people, instead of buying $10 for your kids, just buy 2, 3. You know, he's able to tell you how you should spend your money. Meanwhile, he has golden toilets. You know, like,
that's funny.
You know, yeah, it's okay. Just, it really just goes to show power and money is everything, man. And it doesn't matter how upset you are. Like, you think about these bills they're trying to put up, they don't care about the everyday person. They don't care about the everyday citizen. They just care about how can I make sure my taxes stay low. You know, for those people making over 400, 500 grand a year, it's like, look, we're going to be good. You know, everybody right. making over that level of money, they're straight. It's the people in the middle making, you know, 40,000, making, you know, anywhere between 40 and 130 some odd thousand. Those are the ones that are going to be hit by the highest tax increase. That's the crazy thing. Like, everybody else, theirs is going to be reduced. So they're just like, okay. But it's just like, this is an attack on the working class in this country. And it's a problem. Yeah.
1,000%.
It's a big problem.
1,000%. And when you say, it's so funny when you talk about dollar signs and how much people will be making. Do you know that social media influencers make more than actresses and actors? So, for example, Timothy Chalamet was paid just a little over $3 million for his role in Dune. While his girlfriend is getting paid $3 million for three posts on Instagram.
That's true when you think about it, yeah. And that's again, power versus, you know, content and acting, right? And I think, you know what, that actually brings up another conversation, because it's about where do people put their value, right? Because you just said, like, you got Timothée Chalamet, who is a talented actor, you know what I'm saying, in some amazing movies, and your girl really is just known for being a socialite, right? Really just known for being a part of a family who has money, and you get paid all this money just to say something, just to post something. But yet here I am, I have a lifetime of time devoted to art, time devoted to learning something and putting it out there in the world's store of value. Even with Kanye West, when he initially got with Kim Kardashian, it was like, why is this world-renowned artist, designer, clothier, like, why is he getting with somebody who literally was known for a porno video, who was literally known for a sex tape?
And to that point, you got Justin Bieber, who people are saying that he's going broke when his wife sold her shit for over $1 billion.
$1 billion. Yeah. Like,
bro, what?
Yeah. That's wild. And it just, you know, over time, it became less and less about the art and more about the influence. If you think about even now with Timbaland, who is this producer, you know, a lot of people know who Timbaland is. He's been behind some of the biggest hits in the world, right? And this is over, you know, a good 10, 15 year period. But over time, lately, he hasn't really been putting out a lot of music.
Right.
But he has been very heavy now in understanding AI and what it can do. So he's basically just dropped this new AI artist.
Mm-hmm.
And he's bragging about this. And it's causing a stir because, again, this is where it's like, why are we allowing for the music, for the culture to be cheapened by technology? Like, why would we want to introduce an AI artist into this space? They tried that a few years ago. I don't know if you remember, but they tried to put out this AI artist, and it was some guy, he was in prison, and they had him showing him getting beat up by the cops and stuff like that. He looked like that guy, XXX, XXXTentacion, or whatever his name was.
Oh, okay, he's okay. Yeah.
Very similar to him, and it was like, why are you doing this? You know, and even back then, there was an uproar around that. But for Timbaland, who's somebody who is a part of music game, it just looks very opportunistic. Like, you're just trying to capitalize on this money, and it cheapens the art form.
I mean, there could be some positives with that, right? Like, so think about it this way. So it could be responsible AI use, right? So you have, like, fair sampling, you know, clear credits and transparent royalties, right? So even if they're still using your likeness or your voice for AI, you can still get paid for it. So can there be some positives in that for getting some type of some compensation?
Yeah, I actually agree with you on that. I think that there are balanced ways to use AI. For instance, you could probably use AI to help you even find new chord changes. Maybe you're looking in the music itself and say, hey, I want to come up with a new sound. Mm-hmm. Help me come up with that new sound, right? But to use it as a replacement artist, right? To say, okay, I'm going to create a new artist, or even using AI to create a song for you. I think that's wrong, right? I think that there's certain things that your creativity still needs to be the most paramount thing. Because, you know, you got artists, like, literally there was a video that I sent you of this woman who had worked with Timbaland, and she was like, you know, I've literally spent 40,000 hours learning, you know, how to make music, learning how to create. And what we're basically saying is we're going to use AI to literally create a song in 5 seconds, you know, off of the backs of people like me who have spent thousands of hours, you know, years putting together this craft. All AI has to do is learn from these different sounds that these artists create and then create something that sounds a lot of times just like it, right? And but meanwhile, where's my reward for all the hard work I put into it?
So,
and that's the problem.
I hear that. And she's probably had, you know, mad people helping her out, such as tutors and some type of instructors. And she had to pay for all that as well, right? So when you have AI and say someone is trying to get into the music industry, instead of having to pay these, you know, these instructors and these tutors all this amount of money, you could just go on AI for free and say, hey, you know what? I want you to impersonate this person and I want you to teach me how to become better at whatever they're doing, right? And that could be something that can also streamline music as well. So that way that people can get the help that they need, even if they don't have the cash to get the help. Now we might actually see an influx of new artists out there putting out new music because now they have help from AI and it's completely free. And, you know, that can help them out.
Listen, I think that there is, and with all of these things, there is that caveat, right? There is that nuance because yes, you're right. There are a lot of people who can't afford tutors, right? But there's also a lot of people who are self-taught. You got the Quincy Joneses of the world. You got, you know, the Ray Charles, the Little Richards, who literally learned music on their own. They didn't have...
Not everyone.
But it's not even necessarily about skills. It's about hard work, right? It's about them putting in the time to figure it out and to learn it. And I think that's the thing is, I don't want to also take a job out of a tutor's mouth. Like, you know, there's been times where I actually went and took guitar lessons from somebody, you know, I worked at a famous location or whatever. And I went and sat down with him to learn because he experienced what it was like to be out on the road. And he knew how to do certain things with the guitar that I was able to pick up from him. And I think, well, with AI, while it might be cheap, it now puts these people at risk, right? These
are the people free, right?
Who love doing what they do. You know, who love doing what they do, who love teaching, what happens to their jobs? Because I was paying these instructors to teach me, right? Now, yes, I do think that, yeah, you can use AI, because I've used AI to teach me how to do certain things in the music space too. I think it's dope, but I think it's a danger zone, right? Because with AI expanding the way it is, when we've talked about this up here before, just in the white collar space, what it's doing to, you know, the business world and jobs, it's even moving into entertainment. It's going to take away entertainment opportunities from people. So it's just something we have to really keep an eye on.
I think what Timbaland's doing, though, is he's just adding on to his legacy, right? So I'm pretty sure you knew this, but he's been like an early adopter of vocoders, mashup, and remote collaborations. So he's just adding on to what he's been doing. And by the time he's gone, right, he's going to have all these things that are still going to live on, because he was a part of that. And I think that's what he's trying to leave behind.
Honestly, I think he's cheapening his legacy. Real talk. Like, Timbaland hasn't put out any solid hits in a long time, bro. Uh-huh. Like, it's been literally decades for him. And I think what's happening right now is you got a lot of... He's trying to figure out that next sound. Like, I'll be real. I haven't heard anything fire from Timbaland. And mind you, I used to be a Timbaland, like, fan. I remember, like, back in the late 90s when he was dropping with Aaliyah and Missy and Genuine and, yo, hits for days. And now he's kind of falling off the radar. And I think he's looking for his next thing. Like, you got the Pharrells of the world who are still putting out.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
But Pharrell's doing things with, like, fashion, and he's also collaborating with other artists as well to help them out.
So his name's out there, but just not. But it goes to prove that he's creative. He's still able to do stuff while you like appreciating music for what it is. He's not using AI like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's
AI is the future. You know what I'm saying? You gotta just go with where things are going. You kind of just have to get ahead of the game. I think that's what he's trying to do, is get ahead of the game so that way he's not falling behind.
I agree with that. But I think talent is talent, man. Like, if you're truly talented, if you're truly on a cutting edge, you can find a way to monetize. You can find a way to get your music and your art heard. And I think I hope he doesn't cheapen it too much. And I think more and more people are speaking up against what he's doing. Like, even Jay-Z's main editor or engineer, Guru, he was up there with Timbaland. I think you probably saw in that video, like, it was a panel, you know? And they're like, yo, we don't agree with what you're doing here. You know, it's time to get back to making real music, getting real people in a studio, having a real jam session, doing real, you know, jazz music and stuff like that. Like, that's where the skill is. That's what people want to see. Because soon, what will a concert be? Basically, we're saying that AI is going to be doing a concert and we're just going to go and see a person on screen, you know, singing a song. We don't want to see that shit. I know I don't. I want to see somebody literally playing the drums. I want to see somebody running across the stage singing. I don't want to see a hologram. I don't want to see somebody just on the screen. I don't want to see that. Like, that's cheapening the art.
It is definitely cheapening the art, but I see where it's going, man. I see where things are going. AI is going to just sweep, and we're maybe not see it in our lifetime, but in the future, we're going to see, they're going to see that where you're going to have a holographic version of somebody who's going to be performing in four different continents at the same time, right?
And look, we've seen that before. We've seen what they've done with like Tupac, like when they did that some years ago with the holograph or the hologram or whatever. We've seen it. Yeah, we've seen it in bits and pieces, but nobody's going to accept that as the norm. I think...
Not now.
I don't think they ever will. I mean, you know, and it's funny, like, there's been, like, futuristic movies where they've kind of shown something similar to that. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think that it's something that people will appreciate. I think people still love the music. People still love being able to go to a live show. There's nothing like going to a live show. Nothing like this day. That's just my own personal take on it. I'm very passionate about that. Because again, you know, when you got artists that spend time trying to perfect their craft, bro, and then you just got something like a computer coming up with a song, it's like, why did I even spend 10 years of my life trying to learn this? Why?
People do, I mean, things are just easier now, right? There's always going to be a way to do things easier. Now it's like, think about driving, right? You would have to use a manual transmission and you would have to put it in gear. And if you're up a hill, you have to put it in first gear, turn off your car, make sure it doesn't roll down the hill, right? But now they have self-driving cars and the use for manual transmission is out the window. And if you want to park and it's a tight spot, now the car can do it itself, right? We're always going to find ways to make our life that much more easier by
I think that's fine creating in tech, shortcuts. But it's not fine in art. Like, I don't want AI creating art for me. I don't want AI creating a beautiful picture for me, because then again, it cheapens the value. Mm-hmm. When you know an artist spent 30, 40, 50 hours on a piece of art, that's what makes it valuable, right? Like, just think about how cheap an AI generated piece of art is going to be. People are going to say, well, you literally typed it in. I'm not going to spend money on that. Right. Now, will it possibly drive up people that do physical art? Will it drive up their prices? Because it's like people now appreciate, you know, the art form. They appreciate the artist doing the hard work. You know, and as an artist, I'll tell you, you know this about me. Like, you know, I paint, I draw, you know, I make music, I do all this type of shit. Like, I don't want a computer taking over and coming up with something that is soulless. Right? Like, a computer is, there's no soul in that.
Yeah.
There's no soul in that.
I hear you with the art, because if you look at things from back in the day, right? Like, way back in the day, art was in the form of marble, like cutting marble and looking at all the different, you know, parts of the human body and seeing how you can put that into real life, right? From the imagination. And it went from that. You don't see that nowadays anymore. Now you see paintings and then you see portraits, and art transforms throughout the years, right? Throughout time. And we just don't know how art is going to transform when it comes to music. Music was played a certain way back in the day. Now it's transformed to what it is now, right?
Yeah, but it's changed. It's changed on the fringes, right? It hasn't fundamentally changed. Right? You think about art like music. Music has 12 notes, literally 12 notes. But yet you have, out of those 12 notes, how many millions of songs have been created, right? Mm-hmm. That all came from a specific artist's ability to interpret a sound a certain way and create a new way to make that sound come across to a listener, right? Now, the difference is that that artist needs to now be compensated because, hey, I came up with this new sound that everybody loves. You think about the enjoyment we get from hearing a song. The hair stands up on the back of your neck when you hear a song that you really love. You know, you get that feeling in your mind like, oh, man, it's almost euphoric. And what we're now saying is you would much rather put that in the hands of a computer. A computer doesn't understand how the human body interprets sound and, you know, because I know what feels good to me, right? As an artist, right? I know when I make a certain sound or I draw a certain thing or I paint a certain thing, I know how it makes me feel, right? So I know how it's going to make another listener feel or another person who is an observer of art. So yeah. Is technology good for speeding up things? Yes. Is it good for, you know, getting us to a place faster? Sure. But there are certain places where I feel technology, yes, we can use technology and art in some ways, but let's not use it to take the place of an artist. You get what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying. You know, I used to make art when I was a kid, and one of the best times of my life, I remember telling my mom and dad, hey, you know, I want to show you what I've been working on. And they were so proud of me. They sat down in front of me, smiles on their faces. And I was like, are you guys ready? And they were like, yeah, let's do it. And so I took off my shirt and I started making fart noises with my armpit. And I thought to myself, that was the best moment of my life right there, man.
Oh, yeah, that was the best moment.
Making art with my armpit, man, I made the sounds of an angel, bro. It sounded perfect. You would have loved it, actually. That was my art back in the day.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Just, you know, fart sound.
It was beautiful art, man. Art was a little stinky. It was a little raw.
You're about to put out that Chopin on them, man. Okay, I got you. That Beethoven up on there.
I'm telling you, it's all in the angle and how wet you get your hand. And no pun intended.
True artist. This guy. No, you know, it's just, I'm very passionate about that, man. And I hope that we get this right.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We got to get this right, because if we don't, so many people are going to be out of jobs, out of work, and it's going to be hard to figure out. Like, if we think about 10, 15 years from now, the landscape of work is going to be so different, bro. And it's like, okay, absolutely. If AI takes over everything, what will people actually be doing for a living? How will people actually be able to work? Like, the only jobs that I could see really making it are jobs in art and physical, like, artisan labor, right? Like, plumbing. Being an electrician, you know, doing certain things like that, that's what's going to really drive it, you know?
Yes. There was a thing I saw about one of the top 10 jobs that are going to be showing up. And I think 4 out of the 10 jobs were just like AI, like anything that involves AI, AI marketing, AI visuals. It's what's happening with the job market, where it's shifting, and how AI has been embedded into like the top 10 job prospects out there. It's just absolutely absurd. But you know, that's just life, man. That's life, and that's where we're heading. And you know, we can't really change job markets so much, because you know, that's what the companies are looking for, and that's how they're going to streamline certain things. But it's just pretty nutty. You know, if I was getting paid a lot of money to do that, hell yeah, dude, I'll be all up on it. I would take the first flight to whatever place I need to go to learn the craft that I need to learn for AI, such as going to, you know, a warehouse and being stuck in there for 30 days, right? But you know, it's just crazy when you look at how much people are getting paid for certain jobs. Came across something that happened with Dave Portnoy and him talking about how much his associate was getting paid. I think it was like $500,000. I think we talked about this a little bit. It was when Dave was telling his worker to shut the fuck up, and then he's like, I'm paying you $500,000. And I'm thinking to myself, yo, you're getting paid mad money, but you're getting talked to in a certain way. Does getting paid more money equate to getting disrespected?
You know, man, listen, that's one thing. I wish a motherfucker would. Listen, if there's ever a time where somebody gonna hear that, I wish a motherfucker would talk to me
motherfucker
like that.
Jones, bro.
I will slap the shit out of Dave Porter. Let him talk like that to me. I will catch a flight to him just to slap the shit out of him. I don't care. I will hop on that motherfucking flight. Yo, think about what he's saying. He was like, yo, like, you're a bitch, you this, you that, you know, you bald-headed this.
You ball, yo, respect.
Yeah, respect.
Don't fucking talk about my ball game, bro.
Like, he was talking to him crazy, and there's no way. And he's so bent out of shape over this whole issue of, you know, people talking about Jews, right? He, you know, now everybody believes everything is anti-Semitic. If you say anything against, you know, anybody that might be Jewish, anything like that. And it's like, no, that's not what we're saying here. Not everything is anti-Semitic.
You can make a joke. Comedians can make jokes, right?
You're trying to say, I mean, you think about it, like, jokes? Think about how many comedians have joked about Black people. How many comedians have joked about Hispanics? How many people have joked about...
They joke about trans.
Yeah, trans. Like, you know, like Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle is one of the biggest you know, artists out there who talks about a lot of this type of stuff. Funny. So, I mean, you know, like, my thing is, let's not become so sensitive to everything where it's like, nobody can say anything about you or yours, but we can say everything about everything else.
What about Black jokes?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and where does the line get drawn? It becomes a very slippery slope now. So I think it's people like him who are so sensitive about these things, but yet feel like they could talk however they want to talk.
Yeah, because it pretends.
Yeah. Let him talk to me like that. I would have quit on the spot. There's no way I'm going to allow you to talk to me crazy. I'm just not. I don't care how much money you pay him. Like, thanks. I think, and that kind of got back to what we were talking about before. Like, as a man, where's your limit? Like, what are certain things that you will allow for somebody else to do or say?
I would punch the fuck out of him. I mean, I would slap a person to disrespect him, but this would be personal. Like, I would punch him. Like, that's if someone talked to me like that, I'd be like, hell no.
Yeah.
Fuck no, you're going to talk to me like that. There's no way on earth that you're going to hide and talk mad crazy to me and make me feel like I'm stupid, that I'm fucking less than. I will stomp on your neck. Like, that's crazy. You don't talk like that to another human being.
I will catch a flight. You ever watch like those Quentin Tarantino movies when they show an airplane flying from one map to the other? That's what it's going to look like. I'm going to literally be like, oh yeah, that's how you feel? Got you. It's going to be that little dot on the map. And then it's going to be a plane flying over. And then it's going to be a slap. And then there's going to be a plane ride.
This bald-headed bitch is going to slap you. Bam.
I'm coming right back 100%.
I think that it doesn't matter how much you're paying somebody. You don't talk to a person like that. And if you're trying to threaten saying, hey, yo, you're going to pay $500,000. You're going to quit. It's like,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, yo, I'm going to sue your fucking ass now. Yeah. Right? You're going to try to throw that at my face and try to retaliate. Right? And say you want to fucking fire me. Nah, hell no.
I don't like that at all. Nope. Like, don't ever use money over my head. And don't think you're going to talk to me in the old kind of way. That's the quickest way to get knocked out. Sorry.
100%.
Sorry, if you don't agree.
Just stand on business. Stand on business.
That's right. Stand on business at all times. But yeah, like that's the way I feel about it. I mean, we think about a lot of the things that will be going away. Like we talked about, this AI related. There's so much of this stuff is going to be gone. And you know what we're talking about with Dave Portnoy and all this stuff, just watching how you talk to people. You know, I think with everything, it's going to become very hard just to understand how far we will allow other people to go. Because if our jobs are at risk, if everything we do now becomes harder to do, we're going to be in a place where we're going to have to tolerate a lot more.
1,000%.
When you think about it.
1,000%.
Like, because if people are like, look, you don't do it, I'll find an AI tool that'll do it for you. If you don't do it, it's going to cheapen all the work we do. It's coming. But we just got to be mindful. We got to be very careful.
1,000%. Watch how you talk to somebody, because someone can just end your life like that based off of how you talk to them. Like, think about that. People have legit ended someone's life for less.
For how you've looked at them. Like let's be real. Like, if you've grown up in any major city, you know a look will take things to the next level. A look. Like, please, I've been in plenty of bars and clubs where somebody look at you from across the room. It's like, what's up? Well, what's up? What you got? You know, like, it literally starts that easily. So, you know, it's just certain things you have to know how far to take. That's just a man thing, I believe.
I mean, you know? That makes me steamy just thinking about it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Nah. Nope.
All right. Well, I mean, listen, you guys know how we feel about this stuff, and you guys know what you need to do. Career-wise, you know, we're going to be dropping a lot more career content, I believe, over time, especially as the landscape changes, because, you know, as two people that are on the front lines of this stuff, we see it every day, right?
Yep.
We see how AI is changing things. I use some form of it in what I do just to help me make my day a little bit faster. So we're going to talk a lot more about how we can use these tools to help us, right? Yeah, AI is, it does bring some danger, right? But we can also stay with it. We can also move with the curve as opposed to being victims of it. So we'll figure out ways around that.
Yeah, like, hey, AI, how do I make my penis bigger? Right? What?
That's not really career driven. You know what I'm saying? You know,
I mean, in the porn industry, yes, it is.
Well, I mean, that's true. That's true. All right. You got a valid point, Dave, but I don't know.
Oh, man.
This fucking guy talking about resumes and he's talking about.
Whatever. It's okay. It's okay.
But yeah, man, like that's the goal. So listen, any fun facts for the day before we drop this thing?
Absolutely. Global baby boom. Every minute, roughly 255 babies are born. Now, that's over 367,000 new people every day. That's crazy. 367,000 a day. 255 babies are born every minute on Earth.
That is nuts, man. Wow. Yeah, so, hold on. So I had...
And another one, too. Only humans can blush. So we're the only species known to blush, thanks to the unique neural response that our cheeks make. So that's pretty embarrassing when we're like embarrassed or excited. So it's pretty intense. Yeah.
Interesting. Wow.
Yes, sir.
So check this out. Did you know that Wi-Fi was actually invented by accident? And it was invented while trying to detect black holes.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yep. It actually started up and it was created by an Australian physicist. And it was all a part of a failed experiment. So they were just trying to figure out a way in which to, you know, detect black holes across the universe or across the galaxy. And they found out how they could actually utilize this specific formula to connect different pieces of equipment via Wi-Fi network. So that was pretty interesting.
I wonder if it was pronounced Wi-Fi.
Actually, you know what?
Hey, Mike, give me that Wi-Fi.
So that's actually very possible. That's actually very possible. I would not be surprised. Because you got to think, you know, a lot of times I think with American culture and language, we always tend to think certain things. Like even when you think about the Bible, right? We always think about historical times or biblical times in English mindset. But a lot of times they were talking that straight like Arabic. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of it was a different language. And I think we just always tend to interpret it as the English language. So that's a good point.
That's crazy. Yeah. Or like garage, right? It's the garage, but... The correct way of saying it is garage.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Like it's so like even when you think about just between America and Britain, like America and the UK, a lot of the words are the same, but the way they say them are completely different.
And then when they try to correct me, I just said, "Remember, I'm American. Shut up."
Well, check this out. The inventor of the Pringles can is actually buried in one. So Fred Bauer had parts of his ashes buried in a Pringles container. Are his wishes. It's weird.
Was it a used Pringle container that it has some like chip residue? I'm gonna get the last chip.
Spicy ranch.
You know what? I just did a really weird
pause. Yeah. Pause. He just gargled air glizzy.
We're done. We're done.
All right, man. Well, thanks a lot, everybody. We appreciate y'all today. Enjoyed the pod, man. And we'll see you guys next week.
See you.
Have a good day, guys. Peace.
Later.
What's up, guys? Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of the Still Loading Podcast, where we dive into the latest in tech, relationships, business, and science. We hope you enjoyed our convo and picked up something new today. Don't forget, you can catch all our episodes on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Just search for Still Loading with Kane and Ace. And if you like what you heard, please subscribe, leave us a review, and share the podcast with your friends. For bonus content, updates, and behind-the-scenes info, head over to stillloading_pod on Instagram and stillloading_pod on TikTok. We want to hear your thoughts, so drop us a comment or connect with us online. Until next time, stay curious and keep moving in this thing called life. See you in the next episode.